Monday, March 26, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Today, I want to begin by calling out something that is very apparent to me, yet many do not see it for what it is. And this is the absolute stranglehold the military-industrial complex has on the U.S. government and its policies. As the national debt continues to grow exponentially, despite frequent promises to the contrary, and new spending bills only add to that wildly growing number, the only way for the U.S. to stay afloat has been to grasp on to the world arms trade as if it were a life raft, and now it can't turn back. Without the sales of weapons around the world, a market the U.S. currently leads, the U.S. would simply financially collapse, which seems a bit counterproductive for the nation claiming to promote peace to be selling arms to allies and enemies alike. So it becomes quite clear that the U.S. military is in control, much more so than any other entity, which is why it has taken the driver's seat in U.S. policy over the last few years, more so than ever before. And the social engineering we have been seeing to stoke the irrational patriotism and almost outright hatred for those outside our borders is used to create not only the support to hide the warmongering taking place, but also the justification for the use of weapons that need to be sold in order to maintain the current barely stable status quo. This is why we see the ever-increasing military budget, despite already spending more on military than the next eight countries combined, and why we see military-grade weapons, vehicles, and gear on average police, because we are buying what we do not need to keep afloat. And all the excess must go somewhere, and what better way to use it than to get paid for it twice while conditioning the masses to a military state at home, and use taxpayer money to do it. As the people are so worked up about the threat du jour, be it Russians, terrorists, or some other manufactured threat to a democracy that does not exist, that they cannot even see the real reasons for all of this, or the one marching down the street in a militarized fashion. Moreover, what the people actually want does not even play a part in this process, as the recent bill that would have had the U.S. pull out its support for the ongoing genocide being committed in Yemen by Saudi Arabia saw over 70% of Americans that supported this withdrawal. Yet when put to Congress, they largely voted to continue supporting Saudi Arabia, despite the atrocities being committed against the civilians, despite the hypocrisy of invading another country on the grounds of a humanitarian crisis, just like the U.S. is supporting. And despite what the American people actually want. This is because they are well aware of the real reason for the support, war, and the money that lines their pockets by the very powerful war lobby. This is one of the largest reasons that the U.S. needs to create conflict amongst the people to keep them at each other's throats instead of realizing what is actually going on. For the first story of the day, something coming out of the Washington Examiner, as well as many others that had covered it, is something I wanted to point out, which is very interesting to me. The title reads, Fusion GPS Glenn Simpson, Russians Infiltrated the NRA. And the reason I want to point this out to begin is while it amuses me to see the fact that now apparently, I mean, once the Russian collusion story began to collapse, now apparently the Russians infiltrated the NRA, and how perfect to see the connection of these two issues going forward, the Russian collusion lie and now gun hysteria. And look, hey, they perfectly fit together, and the Russians and the NRA, and it seems wildly orchestrated. And one, we can see, first of all, that there is literally no proof to back up these claims, yet they're being dutifully supported by all of mainstream media. It's just clearly an agenda taking place here. We even saw a story, Adam Schiff recently made the claim that Russian ads promote the Second Amendment, so we go out and kill each other. Both speaking out against a constitutional right, but at the same time kind of crossing over the Russian narrative with this idea of gun control. I mean, this is exactly what I've been talking about. This is social engineering at its finest, or I mean, really not finest as far as I'm concerned, but clearly taking place right in front of us with the design to kind of just mesh all of this together and just keep people angry for reasons they can't even understand. And now and divided down party lines, which is the most important point. But it has to be apparent to everybody how ridiculous this crossover is. We have seen no proof for Russian collusion, and now all of a sudden we're trying to make it seem like the NRA and the Russians are involved and just kind of meshing these together. It just seems so obvious to me, and I really hope that people can recognize that. So I wanted to point this out to begin, just to really draw out how absurd this is and how they're trying to use things they know are that charge people up emotionally so to distract them and to keep this agenda moving forward. We have to see that. Moving on to the next story coming out of ZeroHedge.com, Russia vows imminent response to diplomat expulsion. Quote, the U.S. only understands force. So Trump has expelled 60 Russian diplomats, which Boris Johnson called the biggest collective expulsion of, quote, Russian spies ever, which is interesting. Now, clearly, there's an effort right there to not say Russian diplomats, right, but calling them spies. So people hear that and immediately think, oh, well, he just kicked out Russian spies. But again, which mainstream media is just dutifully reporting exactly as said. And we also saw 14 EU member states decide to expel Russian diplomats as well. And again, the reason that I point this out again is because we are seeing actual action, aggressive, provocative action by these nations, clearly most of them supporting the Western agenda here, but by their own admission, which is based on something that is only highly likely, which by itself means not certain. They simply do not know for sure that this connects back to the Russian government. Yet clearly they're moving forward nonetheless, which again, as I've said many times, it shows you that the truth has nothing to do with this. It's simply moving forward with what they already wanted to do based on something they think will allow it in the people's minds. And really a lot of these people, just like we saw with just the last story, the NRA hysteria kind of idea, they know people are just frothing at the mouth about Russians due to their social engineering, so they just continue to go with it, and they'll back up anything that's anti-Russian. I mean, this has to stand out as absolutely absurd when we know we don't have any evidence. James Corbett's article made the great point, as well as some other very excellent, I think Murray has some really good, I'll make sure and put these links in the show notes, but that really do show you that they do not have any proof, and even proof that this Novichok agent even exists, yet they're continuing to move forward with it. I mean, that's just absolutely mind-blowing knowing what's at stake here, clearly showing you that they want some kind of conflict, or at least to puff up the military-industrial complex even more and allow more reasons to continue to increase the military budget. I mean, it's the only things that I can see taking place here. Moving on to the next story coming out of ZeroHedge.com, caught on camera, Israel targets civilians with a chemical weapon drone. For the first time, Lebanon-based Al Mayadeen TV released new dramatic footage showing Israeli forces using a weaponized unmanned aerial vehicle against a Hamas rally in the Gaza Strip. The UAV is seen flying through the skies above hundreds of protesters while operators of the aircraft drop chemical weapons onto the crowd. Now, what's important to understand here is that Israel did not sign the Chemical Weapons Convention of 1993. Which apparently enables the Israeli Defense Forces to legally deploy chemical weapons against civilians, which is an absurd loophole by omission that I outright disagree with, and one that would not stop the U.S. from taking action against its enemies if it should be done by them. For me, this is just another example of why countries such as North Korea choose not to bend the U.S. will, as we saw the result in Libya when Gaddafi chose to denuclearize and was later overthrown once defenseless. If they choose to play the game, it is later used against them. Whereas we see Israel, who by simply not partaking in these treaties is somehow legally exempt. But either way, you would never see the type of response that Syria gets when even the word chemical weapon is used. And as always, that should reveal the truth of the situation. Moving on to the next story coming out of mintpressnews.com, Google and corporate news giants forge new alliance to defeat independent journalism. The, quote, new media monopolists of Silicon Valley and the once dominant traditional print media have clearly agreed that the, quote, fake news frenzy is a convenient pretext to step up their censorship of the internet through new algorithms, allowing them to boost their profit margins and silence opposition through a new framework of algorithmic censorship. Search engine and advertising monolith Google continued to press its offensive against alternative media this week with an announcement unveiling a new $300 million project called the Google News Initiative. The initiative encompasses a range of new projects announced by the tech giant, which has long been accused of enjoying a monopoly position and of siphoning off digital advertising revenue from traditional news publishers. Google sees it differently, however, and asserts in a press statement announcing the initiative that it, quote, paid $12.6 billion to its partners while driving 10 billion clicks a month to publishers' websites for free. The company is now promising to continue working, quote, with publishers to elevate accurate, quality content and stem the flow of misinformation and disinformation. According to Google, the commitments we're making through the Google News Initiative demonstrate that news and quality journalism is a top priority for Google. We know that success can only be achieved by working together, and we look forward to collaborating with the news industry to build a stronger future for journalism. Launched by a partnership with a range of traditional corporate media giants, including the Washington Post, the New York Times, the Financial Times, and U.S. newspaper giant Gannett, the project promises to combat so-called fake news and misinformation. The initiative will include a new lab to analyze and parse out what is deemed mis- and disinformation during elections and breaking news moments, as they quote. So that's important to me, because clearly what this is saying is during any time we deem important, we are going to manipulate what you see to control the information. That's how I read that. Mainstream media saw its readership base evaporate with the rise of honest, non-state-controlled media, and this is clearly an effort to stifle the competition. This new model overwhelmingly favors those who see information and journalism as an article of commerce alone. It poses a stark threat not only to the internet user's ability to access information, but the ability of citizens and social movements that hope to interact with, participate in, and wield influence over the political and economic activities that determine our lives and the fate of communities around the world. And this is what they're trying to manipulate. This is something that needs to be important to everyone, because they are trying to cultivate the message. They're trying to cultivate information and every way that you can access it. That's what's taking place here. Moving on to the next story coming out of MiddleEastMonitor.com, U.S. charges 9 Iranians of hacking universities and businesses. The United States on Friday charged and sanctioned 9 Iranians and an Iranian company for attempting to hack into hundreds of universities worldwide, dozens of firms, and parts of the U.S. government, including its main energy regulator, on behalf of Tehran's government between 2013 and 2017. U.S. officials claimed that the 9 Iranians worked on behalf of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards to carry out the hacking. The hackers were not accused of being directly employed by Iranian's government, however. They were instead charged with criminal conduct waged primarily through the Mabna Institute on behalf of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. In Tehran, Iran's foreign ministry spokesman Behram Qasimi denounced that the move was provocative, illegitimate, and without any justifiable reason, and another sign of the hostility of the U.S. ruling circles toward the Iranian nation. Now, this is inconclusive, and I do not want to say that Iran would not take such an action. As we have pointed out many times before, all nations take this action, especially the U.S. government, on a regular basis. But this is yet another example of the U.S. moving to aggressive action with incomplete evidence. As I said before, this is because this has little to do with the truth. It is just a way to implement what the U.S. already wanted to do. So it is entirely possible that it's a complete fabrication, or a false flag designed to muster support for military action in Iran, which has been the plan for a very long time. So it should not be surprising that the U.S. would jump on any chance to execute that plan, regardless of the truth. But the real takeaway here is that it's just like we're seeing with the other story. They can't make an exact connection with the Iranian government and the hackings that took place, yet they can claim that they're connected and move forward with military action or sanctions. And that's alarming. At what point did we stop needing evidence to carry out extremely serious geopolitical moves? And where are the people involved in all of this? The people seemingly have no representative voice anymore when it comes to geopolitics, which arguably are one of the most important aspects of what are going on today, carrying out everything in our name across the world, yet we don't seem to have a voice. These stories need to begin to stand out to us. Moving on to the next story coming out of mintpressnews.com, Turkey announces military incursion into Iraq, threatens U.S. over Manbij. On Sunday, President Recep Tayyip Erdogan announced the beginning of Turkish military operations in Iraq's Sinjar region, a week after Turkey and allied Syrian FSA groups captured Afrin from Kurdish fighters. During that prior victory speech, immediately on the heels of the Syrian Kurdish retreat from Afrin, Erdogan had promised further extensions of his forces in the region, including into eastern Syria and Iraq, while making repeat historical references to the Ottoman Empire. Erdogan warned at the time that Turkish troops would keep pushing east farther into Syrian Kurdish YPG territory, which would eventually pit his forces against the U.S. armed and trained SDF terrorist factions. During Sunday's speech, He pledged to take Tal Rifat and Manbij. Quote, the U.S. needs to transfer the control of Manbij to its real owners from the terrorist organizations as soon as possible. Reuters quickly cast out that ground operations had actually been initiated, citing Iraq's Joint Operations Command, which denied that foreign forces had crossed the border. For now, it appears that Erdogan, fresh off the momentum of the Turkish annexation of Afrin, has gotten Baghdad to move on the PKK without firing a single shot. Clearly, there is a larger agenda at play here that I feel directly involves the U.S., as they seemingly sit back and watch as the formerly U.S.-backed Kurds are systematically taken out by the Turkish army, and more illegally occupied U.S. territory is taken by the Turkish military as well. I still believe that this effort by the Turks is in coordination with the U.S. to keep Syria destabilized and take the focus off the ongoing U.S. protection of the last pocket of ISIS in Syria territory. We will have to watch as this continues to develop, but if the U.S. takes absolutely no action moving forward, I think that will tell us all we need to know. So Americans continue to argue over a right that should not even be on the table for discussion in the first place, while what is truly needed is simply the actual enforcement of the laws already in place and actually holding public officials accountable for their failures to do so. Yet we are witnessing a massive, socially engineered event that both distracts from the many very important events discussed today, as well as the manufactured consent for the ongoing dissolution of the Constitution itself. As Walter Lippmann wrote in 1921, and is more true today than ever before, the creation of consent is not a new art. It is a very old one, which was supposed to have died out with the appearance of democracy, but it has not died out. It has, in fact, improved enormously in technique because it is now based on analysis rather than on rule of thumb. And so as a result of psychological research coupled with the modern means of communication, the practice of democracy has turned a corner. A revolution is taking place, infinitely more significant than any shifting of economic power. Flash forward a century, and we see the results of such manufactured consent. And sadly, many are still completely unaware of just how controlled and orchestrated their views and opinions truly are. But with every show and every person speaking out, one more person shakes free of the state's controlling grasp and adds their voice to the growing call for change. For more information on the topics discussed today, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.